Big C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053 if you want to get involved in the conversation. And you know what? The hell with it. It's Monday. If you want to give us your hype level for Texas OU, I know we've still got 5 days to go, but if you want to just go ahead and tell me your hype level now, I'm here for it.
You want me to read this from Mayor Johnson?
Yes, I do, and then we'll talk with Mickey.
The mayor of the city of Dallas did a lot of whereas stuff leading into this, because that's what they do. But then he did say, now therefore, Eric Johnson, mayor of the city of Dallas, do hereby proclaim October 7 through 12, 2024 as Texas-Oklahoma Red River Rivalry Week in Dallas, Texas, thereby officially settling the dispute over whether Texas or Oklahoma comes first. So the mayor of Dallas, where the game is located, says Texas comes first.
In your face, Oklahoma. Right now, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Mick, do you get excited for Texas OU? We're going to talk about the Cowboys mostly, but I'm just curious, your excitement level every year for Texas OU.
Oh, I'll watch it. I don't know how much I get excited about it, but
you don't sound very excited.
What excites you?
It's a good game. It's a good festive occasion, I think, in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Did you see any college football games this weekend
that I did.
You didn't like as much that
yeah.
might have crushed your soul
yeah.
because of mighty Texas A&M?
Yeah. I like the way people talk afterward.
Oh, wow. And anything you say from here on is you talking after, Kevin.
Mickey, for the record,
he didn't even bring it up last week.
You're 100% right about that, and here's the reason. I have been burned by my poverty college football team for so long, I always wait until everything is played out to dare raise my voice because A&M's like, don't worry, we'll screw it up for you. So you make a very, very fair point.
Thank you.
All
I appreciate
right.
it.
Now for the Dallas Cowboys, one of the things that we've talked about this morning, and I don't know how you would exactly quantify this, but this feels like the kind of gritty, mistake-laden game that the Cowboys figure out a way to lose. And instead, they fought, and found a way to win. And I just find that really impressive. Regardless of what you think about Pittsburgh or whatever else, I thought this was a really impressive victory, especially considering all the injuries.
Yeah, I think you have to comprehend exactly what they accomplished with all the injuries going into the game. And then when was it? Four plays in, they lose Marshawn Nealon.
Yeah.
They were starting the game with just four defensive ends, and now they're down to three. And it's like, okay. And I was thinking, Mike McCarthy's cursed for this season, right?
I thought about what you told us Thursday or Friday, Mick. You said, sure, you got the backup. What happens when the backup to the backup
yep.
gets
yeah.
hurt? Now it's like,
yeah.
we're
then,
watching
and then,
that.
And then the backup to the backup, Tyrus Wheat, raises his hand and he goes, I'm here.
Yeah.
And then you're going along and then Guyton gets hurt.
Yep.
And he has to leave. And it's like, okay, what are they going to do? You know, Awesome Richards is kind of the backup left. Oh, no, they had a plan. Tyler Smith is going to move to left tackle. And T.J. Bass is going to come in and play the most important snaps of his two-year NFL career. And it's like, okay, let's see how this works. And then the next thing I know, Zach Martin's walking off.
I thought about canceling the season at that point because I was like, what are we supposed
to do? And that was, you know, and didn't find out immediately that, you know, it was cramps.
Yes.
He was dehydrated.
Yes.
And then there's Brock Hoffman, who was battling for the starting center job, and, you know, he was going to always be active because he's going to be the backup center, and he's got to come in and play right guard. And it's like, this ain't going to work out too well.
And then he got a penalty straight away, too.
Well, and that was a BS call, by the way, because the guy was on top of him, pushing him into the ground, and he swatted him away, and they saw that. And the flag came from center field. I don't know how the guy saw it, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, I don't know, how many are there? Seven officials in the game? It was like three blind mice. The pass that they were going to rule a fumble, it's like he threw the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was bad too, yeah.
And it's like, it was so obvious. I bet the replay official, he didn't even need to look at it. He just called down and said, well, I saw it. You guys are wrong. You know, it's yeah. like it was that obvious. So anyway, and then the other one he got, by the way, and I don't mean to get off on a tangent. Justin Fields is running in the backfield like he's a running back.
Yeah.
And he nails him, right? If that was not a quarterback, because they called roughing the quarterback, he's not the quarterback. He's just a football player. And they called roughing?
Yeah, that
seriously?
That was my question is, when does he become a running back? Does he have to cross the line of scrimmage? Because I felt the same way as you on that one, Mick.
Well,
I didn't know. I don't know
when
it is.
I'll give you a great example of that. It was last year, 2 years. It was 2 years ago. Missouri, they were playing Vanderbilt. And the center on a punt snaps the ball 30 yards over the punter.
Oh, dear.
Head. And it's rolling towards the goal line. And here comes the Missouri, defensive guy, and he's trying to run him down. And just before he gets to hit him, the guy turns, and he punts the ball, and he wipes the guy out. And he got called for roughing the punter 30 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Ooh.
The next year, they changed the rule.
Okay.
That's like, well, what if he, is he still the punter if the ball goes into the end zone?
And what an existential question that is right there.
So yeah. Anyway.
If you leave the room, are the chairs still there?
Yeah. Anyway, it reminded me of that when he get called for roughing the quarterback when he wasn't really being the quarterback until he threw the ball out of desperation, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, having said all that, they were able to overcome all of that. They were able to overcome three turnovers.
Yes.
A couple other penalties that really got in the way. A bad kick that was blocked for a field goal, by the way. And they won and on the road.
Yeah.
How many people picked Pittsburgh to win that game?
Most of them.
And why? Because Pittsburgh's tough. They're going to the Steel City. The Cowboys, and it was the whole pregame stuff on TV, how tough the Steelers were, and you can't play unless you bring your big boy pants to play the Steelers, because they're physical. Well, who ran the ball better?
Cowboys.
The Cowboys, behind a beat-up offensive line. Who was more physical? The Cowboys, because they got three penalties for being too physical, right? How about that?
That is a good point, yeah.
I think that just the fact that you went on the road somewhere where nobody was giving you hardly a chance to win, the game gets delayed for an hour and 26 minutes or whatever it was, the field's going to be wet, the terrible towels were soggy, and you even had Snoop against you.
Did you think that was going to be the deciding factor?
when they brought him out there to wave the towel before the game, he was like the honorary towel waver. And
yeah.
It's like, okay. And you had guys stepping up that I guarantee you half the people watching on TV didn't know those guys were on the Cowboys team.
You mentioned multiple times last week Kevontae Turpin as one of those guys that you were like, I got to figure out what he can do in this offense. And last night I thought he had a couple of significant moments, as well as Dowdle having his best game running.
Sure.
And Tolbert stepping
in. And also almost costing us the game.
Yeah, I know.
That was a whole weird thing.
Yeah. But again, and they overcame it.
They did.
Turpin, 4 catches for 50 yards. You know, I don't need to bring up Turpin. Tolbert. He has hit the game of his career, basically. But you had other guys. I mean, those backup offensive linemen had to go in there and play. Tyler Smith, I mean, I might be wrong, but I don't remember him playing left tackle. And since his rookie year.
Thought he looked really good, though.
That he had to move over. Well, they should have done it earlier because Guyton was struggling.
Yep.
Tyrus Wheat. The amount of snaps those guys had to play. Overshawn played 100% of the snaps, right?
Yeah.
There was 95% Donovan Wilson. Golston, I don't know if people knew he was on the team, ended up playing 90% of the snaps. Wheat had 60%. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, you know, and maybe the key thing was Oruwariye. You know, he has to start. And you didn't hear his name too many times, right?
Which is what you want in that position.
On absolutely. The cornerback. Yeah. So they're relying on these guys, and they beat the almighty 3-1 Steelers.
I like it.
Mike Tomlin, by the way, because that was the advantage they also were going to have.
I like it. I love the positivity. We will catch up with you again tomorrow, good sir.
All right, good to be with you.
Absolutely.
Bye, Mick.